Unbreakable is having a relationship that can stand the test of time. And that's what we want to look at. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. We're going to talk about this in just a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Very important verse here. If you can read what's on the screen, let's read. Go. Uh-huh. Right. Read on. The other can reach out. So two are better than one, and everybody can reach out and help and read on. In other words, God put someone with you so that when you reach trouble or have trouble, there's somebody for you. Next, read on. Yes. Amen. Next verse. Yes. Yes. Cord. That is why on our symbol here for unbreakable, we have a triple braided cord. Because in relationships, two are better than one. But you want a relationship that is strong enough that even if one of those ropes break, there's something still holding you together. And we believe that that third cord is God himself. Somebody say God. God is the third cord that will hold every marriage together. The difficulty in why there's so much divorce in America and in the church is because somewhere along the line, they forgot to include that third cord. And so today, we want to get you to a point in your relationship, whether you're married or even single. This works across the board, that if you allow God to be in the center of your relationship, it cannot be easily broken. It would take a whole lot. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to make your relationships unbreakable. Somebody say unbreakable. In the next several weeks, we're going to have a panel next week. You're going to love it. We're going to have a group of guys, husbands and wives, and we're going to ask them core questions on about their relationship biblically. But today I want to lay a foundation for what we're going to do. I want you to write this down for our takeaway for today. This is our takeaway for today. Love the giver more than what's been given. Write that down, please. Love the giver more than what's been given. Now, that's huge. Guys, let me say this. This is, if you can capture this thought, your relationships will change dramatically. If you could capture this idea, wives, let me tell you something. Your relationship will shoot up into the stars. Husbands, if you can capture this idea, there won't be the issue of whether she's the right one or wrong one. You'll know she's the one. I want to show you that when you love the giver more than what you have been given, your relationships begin to grow. Now, we talk about in relationships that there are five priorities in everyone's life. I want you to write these five down. This is what this church believes wholeheartedly. Number one is what? Number two? Three, four, five. These are the five priorities that every single person needs to have in their life. Five priorities. Now listen, you can have these five in this order, and you can have more after that. But these five should never change. You should always have it in this order. When that falls out of place, something is bound to go wrong. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me explain. We want to focus on number one. Now, if you're single and you're not don't have a spouse, then your number one still is God. And then if you're not married, you don't have any kids, then you just go down to the next one, which is job, and then ministry, and then you add the others. But if you are married and you do have kids, the order never changes. Now, let me say this to my older adults. Let's say you have children and they're grown. They drop off that list. Did you hear what I just said? It's God, spouse, but your child, once they get an adult, they drop off the list. So you can't keep raising your children when they become adults. You have to let them go so God can get a hold of them. Somebody say amen. And so when you do that, God will cause that relationship to become unbreakable, because God will then mature them and get them ready for the world. But you have to put your priorities in order. God, spouse, then go to your job, and then help out at church. Do ministry. Do something with your gifts and your talents, and God will cause your relationships to be unbreakable. Now, having said that, this is where we got to go. God must be first. Write that down. God must be first. Man, I don't know about you, but God's so good, he doesn't like second place. Hello, somebody. He likes to win. And I want you to understand that God says, listen, if you want an unbreakable relationship, if you're looking to marry somebody, or you're single and you're looking to find somebody, or you're divorced and you're saying, Lord, I'm not ready to be a widow. I'm not ready to be alone for the rest of my life. Or maybe you're not ready for a relationship. The same answer applies. God must be first. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2. This was a speech that Jesus was giving to the local church. And I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. We'll start right there. Chapter 2. Verse 2. It says this, and this is funny. This is Jesus talking. He says, I have known all the things you do. I've seen your hard work, your patience and endurance. I know you're not tolerant of evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are lying. In other words, you're a good person. You've been doing the right thing. You're trying to do the right thing. You're single and you're trying to live right. You're married and you're wondering why it's not working. And God says, I see all of that. And I know you don't tolerate the enemy. I know you're trying to live right. But look at verse 3. It says this, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Many are in relationships that the enemy is trying to break. But you've held on and you haven't quit. And you're wondering, God, when is my change going to come? And I want to say to you, he gives the answer in the next verse. I want you to read it out loud. Go. Do you hear that? He says, you don't love me like you did when we first met. You remember when you first met me? I know you're in a relationship with that person, but when you fell in love with me, it was you and me. We were reading the Bible. I would meet you at lunchtime, and you would pray to me, and I would talk to you, and we would go out to dates, and you would pray in the midnight. You'd call me up on the prayer line, and you'd talk to me all night long, and we got to know each other, and I told you my heart, and you told me yours. We were in love with one another, even though you had a relationship. You were having a relationship with me first. It was you and me, says God. And I want you to go back to the first love. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do what you did the first time. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. He was talking about a church that had forgotten to love him. And he says, listen, I'm trying to reach out to you to say, you'll lose everything you have unless you come back to me first. Ladies and gentlemen, to have a relationship that's unbroken, we've got to put God at the first top of our priorities. He asked, so you got to love God even more than you love the person sitting next to you. Somebody say amen, please. Somebody say, you got it right, Pastor. You got it right. Just say that. All right, you may not believe it, but just say it for me. Amen. This is the most important thing and important key to a healthy relationship, by putting God first. If you put God first, he is the filter to everything else. Would you put the list back up of the five priorities? I want to show you something. See, God is, when God's first, he's the filter to everything else in your life. And see, look at this. This is a filter, and you can pick this up at any hardware store, but filters are meant to catch all of the dirt and grime that comes through the air. That will, unless that filter's there, you can get sick. Now, there are different kinds of filters. Some just take pollen out of the air. Some, they take all even smaller molecules out of the air. It helps you to breathe better, helps you to live better. It keeps you healthy at home. This is a filter. And it's like God. God is the filter. When he's first, everything under him, the dirt gets caught with God and God handles. Look at the list. If you put God first, then he'll catch all the stuff that may fall on your spouse, your kids, your job, and your ministry. But if God isn't first and you have him as number five, who's catching all the dirt? All of a sudden, you got dirt going in your relationship. You've got issues with your kids. You got issues on the job. You got issues in your ministry. But if you just let God be first, he can keep all the filters and dirt out of your life. Let me tell you something, married couples, you've got to go back and have that relationship where God is the first in your life. Because a lot of stuff you're struggling with, all you need is to put God back where he's supposed to be, and it'll catch all that. Somebody say amen. So God is that filter in your life. But sometimes we get into relationships, have you ever been in a relationship where the thrill fades? What you first fell in love with, it changes. Look at your neighbor and say, don't change on me. Turn the other side and say, don't you change on me. Let me tell you how relationships usually work. Watch this. When you're in relationships, you know why people fall in love quickly and the thrill is so exciting? Because when you get into a relationship with somebody, here's what they do. They come before you like this. Right? This is how they look. But what? Imagine this as a mirror. And someone comes to me and they keep telling me about me. You're beautiful. You're awesome. You're gorgeous. Thank you very much. You're all that in a bag of chips. Amen. And I'm excited because you know what? They're showing me a mirror of who I am. They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about me. And while that's going on, man, I love them. They're so good. Man, that's the one I want to be with. But over time, when they stop telling you about you, and that mirror starts to come down, and you start to see them, you're like, something changed. Used to tell me I was beautiful. Used to tell me I was everything. Used to tell me I was like silky, silky chocolate. Used to tell me I was like vanilla ice cream. Come on, somebody. Used to tell me I was like Cocoa Pops. Come on, somebody. Cocoa Pops. And then the image comes down, and then you're looking at a person who now is critical. Person who now says, I know your faults. I'm looking at you now. And the thrill begins to fade, and you begin to say, God, did I make a mistake? I know I married this person, but did I make a mistake? Is this supposed to be this way? And so then the love begins to fade. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't let that happen. The only way we can change that is by putting God back where it's supposed to be, because that person was never designed to make you happy. That person was designed to help you, not make you happy. Only one person can make you happy, and it's God. Now let me address that. We say, you know what? Well, God, if I marry them, I can get them to change. How many tried that one before and didn't work too well? Come on, somebody. No, what they are today is what they'll be tomorrow. Somebody say amen. So the best thing you can do in any relationship to make sure it's unbreakable is make sure that in their life, God is. I'm telling you the truth now. Now, this is what I always say to people. When time passes, you think, well, I know this person. I know everything about them. There's nothing new for me. But you don't know everything about them. Only God knows everything about them. And it's like an author in a book. I can give you my book, but wouldn't you rather know the author of the book? Because I can give you the thought behind it. Some of us are in relationships. We say, I know this person, been with them for so many years, and I don't see there's any more that we can have. Our relationship has no more to offer. But that's because you're just reading a book. You haven't talked to the author of that person. He can give you the mind of what can make that book come alive. And you've got to go back to God and say, God, you got to show me where in the book, because I read it, but I thought I saw everything. But you got to give me the mind behind that person. Show me there's love that can be, still be there. There are so many people who feel that the love has gone away. But God says, if you come back to me, I'll show you how to love them again. We got to go back, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to show you what happens when we get in a relationship and God's not first. It's what we call idolatry. Write that down, please. This is a key word, idolatry. This is when a person falls in love with a person more than God. This is dangerous because if God doesn't become first, your relationship becomes breakable. And when you begin to worship the person more than you worship God as number one, then you're going to expect from that person to give you everything that God is supposed to give you. You're supposed to make me happy. You're supposed to make me joyous. You're supposed to make me satisfied. But they'll never be able to bear that burden. Only God can do that. But I've noticed in the Bible, what happens when God gives you something and you love what he gave you more than the giver? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a story in the Bible that I want to share with you as we get ready, and we'll close out with this one. It's a story of Jeroboam. And we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse 28. Now, this is very critical, that when you're in a relationship, you cannot love that person more than you love God. To have an unbreakable relationship, you must have the third cord in that relationship. But when we only have two cords and we say, well, I love that person so much, I'll do whatever it takes to keep them, we end up compromising on morals. When we compromise on morals, we walk away from God. Maybe you're living together and you're saying, you know, listen, you know, we have to do this because we've got to pool our money together. No, you don't have to. You can trust God, and God can provide for you so that you can live on your own and marry her without guilt. Somebody say amen. Maybe you're saying, listen, I'm old and I need intimacy. I need you to compromise your morals. No, you don't. You need to find a man who's willing to wait for you until God says it's time through the avenue of marriage. Come on, am I preaching to myself? Listen, we've got to do it the right, everybody say the right way. We struggle because we're trying to do it, because we're saying, God, if I don't do it the way they want, I'll lose them. No, I want to show you through the life of Jeroboam, if you don't do it God's way, you'll lose them anyway. Yeah. I want to make your relationship unbreakable. Let's go to the story of Jeroboam. And I want to tell you a little backdrop here. Jeroboam was a warrior that God was going to do something great with. Go to 1 Kings 11 and 28. And I want you to read it out loud for me. Go. He made him ruler. So Jeroboam was a good man. He was strong. He was ambitious. He was good at management. He did everything he was supposed to do. He was a man of valor, a good man. And Solomon saw him and said, I want to put you over some stuff. Go down to verse 29. Very key verse. Read. That the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. And he had with a new garment and the two. So Jeroboam's walking out in the field, and a prophet walks up to him. Jeroboam's dressed to the T. He's ready for work, and a prophet walks up to him, and he says these words to him in verse 30. And Ahijah caught the new garment on him and rent it in 12 pieces. Could you imagine having your brand new suit and somebody just walk up on you and just rip it up, 12 pieces? That'd be a short story right there, wouldn't it? Well, he ripped it in 12 pieces, and listen to what happened. He says this in verse 31, and he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. The reason he did that is because people began to disobey God. They were following idols. And so he says to him this, I'm going to rip 10 kingdoms away and give them to you. King Solomon had 12 kingdoms. And he says, I'm going to rip 10, give them to you, Jeroboam, and then that'll be it. It'll be yours. Well, here's the thing. The giver gave him all of those things, gave it to him. Now watch this. I want you to go down to 1 Kings 12 and 25, and let's read. 12 and 25. Let's see if we can get it up on the screen. That's right. There we go. Read. All right, now watch this. God gave Jeroboam 10 kingdoms. It came from God. Just like sometimes God will give you people in your life, it's supposed to be a godly relationship. God wanted you to have it. God gave them to you, and then something changed. Jeroboam said, listen, I've got 10 kingdoms, but here's what was happening. In order to worship the Lord, they had to leave the 10 and go to Jerusalem, where the other king was still ruling. And Jeroboam started to think, hey, wait a minute. If my people go back to Jerusalem, they may go back to the other king. And I don't want to lose what I got. And that's when people become controlling, because they forgot that God gave it to them. And so instead of keeping God first, they move in that place and try to control it. I want to show you what happened. Look at verse 26, and I'll read it for you. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdoms return to the house of David. Verse 27, if these people go up to do a sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah, which was Solomon's son. 1 Kings, verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, this is too much for you guys to go to Jerusalem. Behold, these are your new gods, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Verse 29, and he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Because he was afraid to lose what God gave him, he set up a false god so that they wouldn't go back and worship the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to go back to putting God first, because if we're afraid in our relationships that if I don't stand for what's right, if I stand for what's right, I might lose them, then we will create idols. What do they look like? It looks like this. Well, they don't want to go to church, so I'm not going to go. It looks like this. Well, they just want to drink, so I'm just going to allow them to drink in my house. They want to smoke dope, so as long as they don't do it around me, it's fine. They want to go out, and I'm not going to say anything, because if I say something, I might lose that relationship. Many times in marriages, we just let things go on and on and on when we should speak up, because God gave them to us. But if we begin to put idols around us and say, you know what, the only way I can keep my marriage together is by closing my eyes to what's happening and making it seem like everything's okay, you are in danger of losing what you have. Let me prove it. I want you to go down to 1 Kings, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 5. And let me give you a little backdrop. Here's what happened. Jeroboam had a son. He gets sick. And his wife disguises herself because she knows her husband doesn't like the prophet. Because when he turned on God, he turned on everybody about God. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you need to do in your relationship is make sure that you're in the house of the Lord. That you never let your spouse get so mad that they turn away from God. You got to keep encouraging. Listen. You got an issue? Listen, go to that person alone, work it out. But don't leave the house of God. Don't walk away from what God called you to do. Don't turn your back on what God said. You stay in the position. Listen, many of you, God think he called you to a position. No, he calls you to a place. And if God calls you to a place, don't you move until God says so. Watch what happens. Verse 5. Let's all read together. Go. Ahijah. For her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her. Isn't that tragic? That one of the mates had to act like they couldn't be themselves because of the way the husband felt about God. Listen, when God begins to empty out of a house, all of a sudden people start changing who they really are. They put on disguises to keep the safe face up. I'll go out and party with you. I'll go out. We don't need to go. It's Sunday. It's a beautiful day. Can we not go today? And they leave. They put the mask on. But in their heart, they need God. Don't ever think your mate doesn't need to be in church. Don't ever feel like they don't need good, godly relationships. They need that. Let's read on and see what happened. Verse 6. Let's read. Wow. To be another. Now let me read what was said. It said in verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee among the people and made you prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart, to do only that which was right in my eyes. Look at verse 9. But thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind your back. Wow. He began to make idols, and because he did this, the Bible tells me that God took the kingdoms away from Jeroboam. Because when you love somebody, you should love them so much that you want God to be first in their life. If you want the person to love you first, you've just created an idol in your relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you 3 things to help build an unbreakable relationship, and then we're going to head out. Number 1, you've got to have continuous communication. Number 1, continuous communication. Ephesians 4:26 says this. Watch this. You've got to be able to talk to your mate. Ephesians 4:26 says these words. That's coming on the screen. In a minute. Right now. 4:26. Hello? There we go. Jeez. All right, let's all read. Go. Wow. Be angry and sin not. In the New Living Translation, it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Number 1, you've got to be able to communicate and communicate without getting angry. Somebody say amen. And when you get mad, don't let the sun go down on while you're still angry. That speaks to relationships. Don't avoid the problem. Communicate. Here's what I tell couples. When you come in from work, set time aside to say, we're going to sit down and talk about each other's day. Turn the TV off, turn Facebook off, turn everything off and say, let's talk. How was your day? And look each other in the eyes and reconnect. That's how you become a person who has an unbreakable relationship. Pick times to communicate and say, you know what? Nothing should interfere with this. This is you and me time. Number two, write this down. Have common friends. Common friends. In other words, you got to have friends that you both agree on. If she's got friends that you got a problem. If you've got friends that she doesn't like, you got a problem. If you want an unbreakable relationship, make sure you guys both agree on who you have as friends. If you've got a crazy person as a friend, look at your neighbor and say, let it go. No, you got to sing it. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah, you got to let them go. The reason I say this is because if you're two trying to walk together and you got one, let's say you're two married, you're married and you got a single friend and they want to go to the club and they want to go out, you got to let them go. You got a buddy who you love as a good friend, but he's still crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, let him go. Here's what it says in the Bible. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 in the New Living Translation. It says this. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? Verse 15. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Listen, if you're looking to get married, first question, are they saved? Do they know God? Do you have the third chord in the equation? Because if you don't, ain't no telling who's talking to them. It's quiet on Mother's Day. My God. Verse 16, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17, therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. Well, Pastor Steve, that doesn't make any sense because even Jesus sat with the sinners and the wine drinkers, didn't he? How many believe Jesus sat with the people drinking wine and the sinners? How many know he hung out with sinners? But most people don't realize that when he did, it was the one time we read in the Bible he told three stories. He told the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. He went to a party and was preaching. He went to the club and told them about his father and said these words, all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. That ain't hanging out with sinners. He was reaching out to them. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to come out and have equal friends, people you can trust, because if they're not in your circle where you're going, you need to move them out of your circle. Somebody say amen. And then the last one is this. Write this down. You've got to be Christ-focused. To be have an unbreakable relationship, it should be Christ-focused. Let the church of God, the universal church of God, be the center of your relationship. In other words, if one of your mates is going to church, don't be jealous because they're at church. You say, you're at church too much. Ain't nobody at church too much. Some people need to be at church all the time. But ladies and gentlemen, if you have a mate that's serving, and we're not talking about serving in a way that's negative, but they're serving God, let them go to church and let them serve. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Watch this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25. And let us not neglect the meeting of ourselves together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his coming is drawing near. The best thing we can do, ladies and gentlemen, as a couple that has an unbreakable relationship, is to make sure that you're in fellowship. Because sometimes you can't be their best friend. They need brothers to talk to, sisters to fellowship with. And you've got to let them be around people that can speak their language. It's the worst thing you do is be the, I hear this all the time, my wife and I are our best friends, but you have no other friends. What happens when you're mad at your best friend? You've got to have other relationships. And there's no better ones than in the church of God. Can we give God a great hand clap of praise for that? Amen. I want to share with you, just next week, we're going to get into this series a little more. We're going to have a panel of gentlemen up here that's going to be quizzed by a young lady here about marriages. You do not want to miss this. Minister John will be here and some other, all of them will be pastors that will be on the stage, and it will be a blast. So do not miss next week. Get ready for what God's going to do. Would you stand to your feet as we get ready to leave today?